and welcome back to the broadcast, listeners. At the conclusion of the next commercial pause, we'll have Vicky with us. But I just wanted to convey my appreciation to you, Ben, for coming on at such a short notice. I'm sure you're very busy, and I just want to thank you for joining us today.
Well, this is very educational for me also, and I enjoy learning when I can and where I can.
Well, let's kind of work together on this and see if we can get a cadre of you individuals that are very knowledgeable about this subject to continually come on so we can put the pressure where it needs to be to expose this.
Okay.
And the opportunity to make a difference to save lives.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much for joining us.
Okay. Thank you, Chris.
Wonderful.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Fabulous to have him on this last hour. Bill S-517 sets up an 11-member board of directors to oversee all the research on weather control and direct funding to projects. The wording sounds typically bureaucratic and innocuous, except for the fact that the title of the act includes the words technology transfer. There is no specific reference to possible confiscation of privately held equipment. However, there are gray areas such as and for other purposes, and other vague phrases that periodically appear in the text. And once again, we're talking about S-517. This is what rings alarm bells for independent, benevolent weather modifiers like Fred, who want to normalize rainfall for farmers and to lessen storm damage. For example, under Section 5, Duties, the following statement appears. Assessments and evaluations of the efficiency of, or the efficacy of weather modification, both purposeful, including cloud seeding operations, and inadvertent, including downwind effects and anthropogenic effects. Note the reference to cloud seeding, an old method largely superseded by new technology, but still popularly equated to weather control, as it is the only one discussed in the mass media. However, some aerial spraying continues, of which the nature and purpose are hotly debated. And listeners, this is all in our number 56, Weather Control Technologies. Lots of excellent information in here, listeners, as we're going to have Vicky with us and at the conclusion of the next commercial pause, because her research is just as decimating to us as what we just covered in the last hour. It's coming at us from every angle, people, and this is the problem at this point in time. Where do we start? Where do we stop? How can we get other people galvanized into the direction that we're concerned about? Certainly we have a corrupt White House. We've had corrupt White Houses for decades. I think back on the Johnson administration and the Nixon administration and the Ford administration, Carter giving away the Panama Canal. You see, the structure and the engineering of all this has been going on for so long. And people stay galvanized on the White House. Well, it's the big system at the UN and the State Department that has the most engineering ability. Unelected officials in the State Department. Unelected officials in the UN system. I'm sorry that it's the way it is. And the loss of our jobs, the dumbing down of our children, we're going to cover that with Vicky in the next portion of this broadcast, because she's doing tremendous research herself. Dennis and his staff are doing tremendous research. It's a system that we've got to work together to expose. We've got to increase our numbers. We have to bring the experts on about their topics. And experts, any one of you can be an expert if you do the research to document what you do and what you expose. Any one of you listeners right now can be just as much of an expert as the next person, if you document where you're going. And that's what we need. Other people have burned out. They're tired. They've run out of energy, run out of desire. So we have to pick up the slack, bring other people on, doing their research. And there's never been a better time in human history to do research on the net. So we should have Vicky up with us momentarily to connect dots that are so traumatic, you just won't believe it. Stay with us. We'll be right back. broadcast listeners as a result of the hurricanes and the massive loss of jobs down there. At least 500,000 jobs are gone. The devastation's there. Creating new jobs is on the way. And yet we have America's job bank that's being created. And Vicki, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, Chris.
Yes.
What I wanted to talk about today was I was working at my computer as I normally am, and I had C-SPAN on, and I was just kind of half listening to it when Brian Dornan and the senator from Louisiana, I think her name is Mary Landrieu or something. They were talking about that situation that I'm sure everybody's heard about, where there was an American contractor, electricians, that had a contract that after they'd worked on the contract for 20 days, they were let go and they were replaced with illegal aliens. Now, you know, we're so used to just thinking about the illegal alien problem. You know, I really hadn't thought about the absurdity of that. But when Brian Dorgan was talking about it, he made the comment that having the illegal aliens in the country really wasn't the problem. The problem was that the Americans were certified, they were qualified, you know, for this work, and they needed those jobs. And that just that set off all the alarm bells in my mind, and I knew what he was doing. What they've done here is they set up the classic Hegelian dialectic of, you know, the problem, and I can't repeat to you what it is, but anyway, they set up a
problem, reaction, solution.
Yeah, and the problem that they set up was that fully qualified American citizens had this contract and they were replaced by illegal aliens. Okay, so what's the solution to that? The solution, America's job bank, of course. But what's absurd about that is that, first of all, electricians are licensed by the state and the building codes in each state are different. So even though, you know, even if you could find illegal aliens that are qualified to do electrical work, they wouldn't know what the building codes are in Louisiana, and they couldn't do the work to meet the building codes. So, I mean, the whole thing is just a set-up situation to create the impression of the need for America's job bank. So now, what's America's job bank? It's the system that George Bush was talking about to be able to match willing employers with willing foreign workers, assuming that there are no qualified, certified American citizens.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you see where I'm going with this. Okay, now, when I started looking into the education system and what's been happening with our education system, and I found, now I'm a computer systems analyst, I've told you that before, but I found evidence that they have been building this computer system since the 1980s, and I can identify step by step the phased implementation of a computer system to monitor and track and control the American people, which the interlocking piece of that system is America's job bank. Okay, now let me go through these steps for you. In 1990, there was the Mainstreaming Act that brought all kids, regardless of the severity of their disabilities, into the public school system. Okay, that created one big pot for all. Okay, 1990, there was a project that was initiated called the Secretary's Commission on Achieving Necessary Skills. And what this commission did was that they worked with employers to define the skills that employers want to have in the workforce by occupation. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
1994, they passed the School to Work Act, which set up vocational training in schools. Now, initially, they set this up to be a program that would help the large urban schools to deal with kids that, you know, were not going to go to college anyway, as a way to give them job training. Okay, 1994, they set up the Skills Standards Board, which is a national organization. Turns out it's actually international, to define the skills that are needed for an occupation internationally. Okay, and this standards board controls the coding structure and whatever, so that a code for a cosmetologist means the same thing here as it will mean in India or China or somewhere else. Of course, these things take a long time to implement. Okay, 1994, they set up the framework for education reform to promote the development of voluntary system of skill standards and certifications. Okay, 1998, Workforce Investment Act to set up one-stop-shop workforce development boards and councils to set up a five-year strategic plan for these one-stop shops. In 2004, they set up the Safe Schools, Healthy Children's Act. That was went through Congress. What that did was to set up public and private partnerships with school districts for mental health professionals, law enforcement, and juvenile justice systems to be able to coordinate with the schools to provide holistic care and feeding of children or information on children. And if you remember, the impetus for that was probably that incident in Colorado, Columbine.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So now, you know, to recap, they've built the system infrastructure. They've made it possible for the schools to retain an entire record of a student's life, you know, medical records, law enforcement records, school records. They've set up the vocational training. And in all of the documentation, they say that the vocational training is really just for some students. But when you start digging into it, you see that that's the plan for the entire workforce, because they knew a long time ago that they were going to decimate that globalization was going to decimate our economy
mm-hmm.
for knowledge jobs. Mm-hmm. So they anticipate that only 20% of the students will need a college education because of globalization. So they're designing the schools to be vocational schools. Okay, now the schools, they've set them up to be basically supply chains for the labor force. And in the schools, they will be issuing certifications of skills. They've also set it up so that the school computer systems integrate with the workforce management systems. So it's all one big system that's tied together. The kids go to school, they take a vocational line, which in Idaho, the kids will have to choose a vacation by the end of the eighth grade, and they will be tracked into on a vocational path from there. Texas is the 10th grade. I think North Carolina is something like the 6th grade. They're going to be putting them on a vocational track.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so they're integrating the school records, which is really a total information system on a student, with the workforce development system. The workforce development system will have all of the certifications that a student has earned, and in fact that adults have earned, because they have to grandfather in we oldsters, you know, that have not been born into this control system. And anyway, all of the state one-stop shop workforce development systems will be networked into the America's Job Bank. And you will have to have a certification to muck out a barn. Otherwise, those jobs will go to foreigners who have that certification for that job. You see how they're gonna control the American population in the future?
Let me do this as you're with me.
Mm-hmm.
And this comes from Joan Vion's Global Straitjacket book regarding family dependency ratio. Have you heard of that before, Vicki?
No, not in those terms. But
okay, let me read this to you and see if this doesn't connect as we come back from the commercial pause. Mm-hmm. Regarding the family dependency ratio, and see how this connects to what Vicki's researching. And we'll be back to deal with that, the family dependency ratio. Oh, boy. We'll be back to continue. Stay with us. Welcome back to the broadcast, listeners. Keep in mind, if you do not have Joan Vion's The Handbook for the New World Order, the United Nations Global Straitjacket, her number is 301-371-0541. That's 301-371-0541. I know I was going to cover the road to Rio, the road from Rio, and the world peace through world force, creating the UN Army. I'll probably have to cover that tonight. But Joan Vion has this to say about the family dependency ratio. Vicki, you might want to jot down any notes that come across this. It's rather, I'm going to have to cover a couple of pages of her book here. Joan Vion says, when I was analyzing the program of action for the 4th Women's Conference held in Beijing, China, in September 1995, I came across the phrase family dependency ratio. Because the United Nations never defines their words or the meaning of their words, I came up with my own definition after reading the document. While it was very Orwellian, it appeared to me in line with UN aspirations. In order to confirm my understanding, I asked Marie Strong, Secretary General of the first environmental conference held in 1974 in Stockholm, and the 1992 Rio Earth Summit, when I was at the first Gorbachev State of the World Forum in October 1995, if I was correct, chart 4-3 shows the diagram of this concept, and that's why you have to get the book, listeners. I asked Mr. Strong this question, quote, there are four people who live at 102 South Main Street. Well, that once again, there are four people who live at 102 South Main Street. The mother and father work and are producers. The baby and grandparent do not and are non-producers, which means they are consuming and not producing. What the IMF and World Bank wishes to do is find a way to measure the total production of mom and dad at work and at home and then deduct from that figure the total consumption of the household to determine if that household is adding to the Earth's resources or subtracting from them, end quote. So this was Marie Strong's response. Quote, you are correct and much more. I will not attempt a definitional discussion on sustainable development. We want to put it in business terms. We have Earth Incorporated with depreciation, amortization, and maintenance accounts so that we are not living off of capital. If we continue to equate wealth creation with the liquidation of our natural capital, we will be headed for bankruptcy, and that is the direction we are going now. We need all of the elements you mentioned and more to bring the ecological systems and behavior toward them in line with our economic and social aspiration. Those things have to be brought into a new balance if we are going to enjoy sustainable way of life on our planet, end quote. So Joan Vion continues in her book here, "Now that I understand sustainable development, I see it all around me in the business world. Since I am not a full-time employee where I earn a paycheck, I am in a commission industry where I am paid based on my sales. I have seen over and over again that a person's worth is now attributed to his or her production. The bigger the producer you are, which means the more toys you can buy, the greater your value. Not much attention is paid to the morals by which the sales are made." So the family dependency ratio is determining how much you produce as compared to how much you take.
That's right. Yeah, let me put that in a different way, and I'll give you a term that you can look up on the Internet. It's called normalization. What normalization does, it's basically filtering through something until you reach the quality, the essence of whatever it is that you're looking at, the unique ones, the best ones, the quality ones. And what these central planners of the UN and the World Bank are doing is they're doing normalization on the world economy. And you don't have to go through the mathematics or anything to think about it. The way that you can image it in your mind is to think about absolute maximum efficiency from a business point of view. Now, if you're looking at a population of people and you have no humanity, you're a total psychopath, then you look at those people and you say, well, the disabled are not productive. We've got to get rid of them. We have a population of the globe that is 50% young people. So that means everybody over 40 is going to be, from that point on in their life, they're going to cost more than they're producing. So we'll get rid of that population. So if you go through that exercise and you boil everything down to only the most productive people that will generate a profit and that are not using more resources than they are producing, then you understand what globalization is about and what normalization is about. And that's what they're doing. And the term that Joan used and what the World Bankers use, that, you know, that's all in the mathematical realm. But you don't need to get into the mathematics to go through this exercise.
Let's continue on the other side. Stay with us, listeners. Vital information. We'll be right back. With the broadcast, channelingreality.com is her website, Vicki.
Mm-hmm.
Channelingreality.com is the website. Listeners, it's one of the partner sites to AmericanExpose.com. You'll find it on the front page. Do you see a relevance between the family dependency ratio and America's job bank, Vicki?
Yes, because they're supposedly distributing income across the world, global income,
mm-hmm.
To make things fair. I mean, that's the way they do it in the communist model, right?
Yes.
And I'm sick of calling these people communitarians because they're communists.
Uh-huh.
And that's what's being implemented in our country. And the America's Job Bank system is it gives control of the labor market over to the Secretary of Labor, and she will allocate jobs for American citizens and for foreigners. Okay, she will control the flow, And they will be able to do it because they will have the school records on all these kids that are growing up now. They will have their school records, their mental health records, their medical records. And so they will be able to normalize, you know, they will be able to choose who are the best ones to have the best jobs, and the rest of them will be tossed aside.
Let me ask you now, being that this is the case with America's Job Bank, and this is H.R. 3333, correct?
Right. Yeah, but you have to understand, they don't say that, but I mean, that's the... If you're studying the whole UN system and you know what's going on in the world, you know that's where they're headed.
Certainly. And my thought is, being that this American Job Bank will be created, that eventually American jobs or Americans in this American Job Bank might have to go to another country to work?
Possibly, yes. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
If your particular skill is not needed in this country,
mm-hmm.
if you put yourself in the place of a central planner who doesn't really view people in a human sense, but rather just as factors of production, you know, I suppose you could see a certain amount of benefit of sending educated Americans to the third world to help them build their government and society. But my personal opinion, and I think probably a lot of people's opinion, including people in the third world, is that we don't need to be imposing our life on them, and I don't think they want us to impose our life on them. They have their life, their culture, and
but
you know, they're doing it like a SimCity game, like it's a big game. You know, they're going to reorganize and restructure society. And as a matter of fact, Mark Tucker said that in his letter to Hillary Clinton in 1998, and this was read into the congressional record. Let me see if I can find that real quick.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I printed that out as well.
Right.
I'm not exactly sure where it is either.
He said, "We think the great opportunity you have," speaking to Hillary Clinton, "is to remold the entire American system for human resources development, a vision of the kind of national, not federal, human resources development system the nation could have. This is interwoven with a new approach to governing that should inform that vision. What is essential is that we create a seamless web of opportunities to develop one's skills literally from the cradle to the grave."
Yes.
And it's the same system for everyone, young and old, poor and rich, worker and full-time student, regulated on the basis of the outcomes that providers produce for their clients. Okay, so what that end part means is that employers, when you go to work, they're going to be feeding back your reviews into this data bank at the workforce development. So if you happen to go to work for a jerk and he gives you a bad review, you know, that's on this data bank forever. If you have a chronic disease, it will be on this record, and you know, you could be flagged as an undesirable on the basis of your medical record. If you do something bad in school, you know, say you're a kid and you go shoplifting or something like that, that will be on this record. It doesn't get wiped out, you know, when you're become an adult. It will be there forever as a black mark on your character. I mean, it's so heinous what they're planning on doing with this computer system. As a computer professional, I am appalled. I am just appalled by what they're planning on doing with this system.
Yes. Now, this this Mark Tucker letter that's in the congressional record, is that on your website?
Yeah, it is. Uh-huh.
Okay, channelingreality.com. It's a partner site to ours, listeners.
Yeah.
It's the speech of Honorable Bob Schaefer.
Yeah, you can. I have a whole section on the schools and school reform, and I can't recommend strongly enough to everybody, get involved with what's going on in your schools, because what they've been doing is dumbing down the curriculum, because they were planning on us not needing well-educated people. And
that's the point. You know, well-educated people brings individualism, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
And pride. Pride is erased when you erase individualism.
Uh-huh. And what they're doing in the schools is they're teaching all of this, like TQM, which is what they call team building and consensus and groupthink. And what that does is that it deprives students of the ability to grow and develop into individuals. They become dependent on the group, and then they think they can't make a decision on their own. They can't be an individual. They've got to be a member of the global village, I guess.
Now, this research that you've done regarding this letter by Mark Tucker to Hillary Clinton, correct?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. This is very extensive information in the Congressional Record. Please go check this out, listeners.
Yeah. When you go to my website, on the right-hand side, there's a hammer and sickle. And if you click on the hammer and sickle, that's where I have this information on the schools. And what I tried to do is to give just an overview, the broad picture of what they're doing in the schools, so that you could see it step by step, that they've been building this system over the years. And the America's Job Bank is the final locking piece that will basically be electronic manacles on future generations of Americans, because they will no longer be in control of their own future. The Labor Department will control their ability to get a job, to make a living.
And to decide what they're going to do for the rest of their lives.
Yes. Well, they say you can always go back to school, but that all depends on your record. You know, they can choose to allow you to do that or not. The point is that you don't have the control. They do. If they choose to exercise it.
So if you meet certain requirements, you'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't meet certain requirements, it'll be uncomfortable for you in the future.
Right. Well, they already plan on routing some of the kids, some of the pliable, agreeable children, to the international baccalaureate programs. And those kids are not necessarily the best and brightest, but they are the most pliable. And those kids will be trained as the bureaucrats in the centralized system.
Uh-huh. Yes.
So if you go, if you check your school reform, it says right in Idaho's high school redesign program that they will be implementing the international baccalaureate, you know, preparing students for the international baccalaureate program. Some of them.
I see.
So, you know, they try to make it sound as if, you know, they would be the best students, but they aren't. They're just regular schools, but they're schools that have specialized training, I guess, in groupthink and how you manage things in a collectivist society.
So, do you know what, and once again, America's Job Bank is coming out of H.R. 3333, is that correct?
Yes, but Senators McCain and Kennedy have a bill, and Cornyn and Kyle have a bill, and I believe that all three of those bills have provision in there for America's Job Bank.
Okay, so you say America's Job Bank will be integrated with the workforce development system and the education system, which would be the school and other records, which are already integrated. And Tancredo's piece, America's Job Bank, is the interlocking piece that will give control of supply and demand, including the price of labor, via the supply of the Secretary of Labor. Uh-huh. And this system will contain all information about American human resources, including their certifications issued by the schools, work history, including employer ratings and comments and other personal information, and employers will have direct access to the records. Now,
They're building an electronic resume, and the resume includes records from school, as well as all the teachers' ratings and assessments. That's why they call them assessments nowadays rather than grades, because grades are objective measurements. But the way that they're redesigning the school system, there's a lot of subjective information in there, people's opinions about you. So the teacher's opinion of how well you are acculturating to collectivist groupthink. So that's why they've changed it to assessment rather than grades. And this electronic resume is a lifetime thing. So that means that the school records are a lifetime thing.
Is this equated to lifelong learning?
Lifelong learning and lifelong job history, and that's why the let me back up a second and say this system is necessary in order for the Secretary of Labor to manage the inflow of foreign labor. Now, if you look at an American worker as a commodity and foreign workers as a commodity, which is what the GATS agreement did, it translated people into commodities to be traded the same as any other product.
Now, GATS was General Agreement on Trade and Services?
Yes.
Go ahead. Continue.
You've got to have a trade authority to control things, right?
All right.
Well, that's what America's Job Bank is, only it's for the products that are human resources.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to the Department of Commerce website, you'll see they have a international trade authority for products. Well, this America's Job Bank is the same thing for human resources.
Uh-huh.
It's frightening, it's horrendous, and it's really hard because it's difficult to explain computer systems to people and how they all network together and what the end result of that can be or will be.
Yes, and once again, this has been very strategically laid out over a period of years, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, it started back in 1983
Give us a review on this once again.
Okay, in 1983, Secretary of Education Bell commissioned a report, a group to study our school system. They produced this report called A Nation at Risk, and they basically scared everybody to death that our education system was failing and we needed to totally redesign it. And even back then, they came up, they had the vision of the entire system back then. And what they've been doing ever since then is doing the actual building of this system. So right from the beginning, the goal has been to build this cradle-to-grave information system on people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you go to my website, you can read it and you can see the step-by-step building.
Once again, that's channelingreality.com, listeners. It's on our website, channelingreality.com. So continue with this pattern from 1983, is it?
Okay, yeah, 1980. Okay, 1983, that report, Nation at Risk, was produced.
Right.
1988, the National Cooperative Education Statistics System was built. That was the base system, the statistics.
Mm-hmm.
Then in 1990, that's when the SCANS system was, or the SCANS project was set up. And what that was to define what the work competencies are for an occupation.
Uh-huh.
The skills that you need to have to do an occupation.
Okay.
1990, mainstreaming. Now, in that, it was sold as an altruistic thing, but they said that even the most severely disabled children need to go to public school. And what that did is that it put all children in the same pot under the same computer system, okay?
Okay, let's wrap it up on the other side as we conclude the broadcast. The whole 2 hours here, frightening information, listeners, I'm sorry to say. But what else is new? We'll be back. Stay here.
So the truth is that I'm free. I cry for my country, for the pain that it's been through. She's been made to suffer for the profit of a few.
Well stated by Poker Face listeners, that is Poker Face, and their website is pokerface.com. Back to channeling reality. And she's done a tremendous job here, Vicki has, and it's channelingreality.com. You punch on the hammer and sickle on her website. And she says the purpose of this analysis is to once again sound the alarm. We are a nation at risk, and we must halt reforms. We must halt reforms because they are reforming right into a system of totalitarian control, fascist communist control. What began as a federal system of statistics for analyzing the differences between schools has morphed into a monster system of control that would make Marx, Engels, and J. Edgar Hoover proud. It would make FBI files unnecessary. The government system of human resource management would have everything about a human resource that anybody would ever want to know, and it would be available to anybody the government decides has a need to know, which includes prospective employers. And so you've done this research, and it's bone-chilling, Vicki.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? There are not that many people that really understand the implications of it.
That's correct.
People that are very, very involved in the education system and are worried about the quality of education, they know what's going on, but they don't understand the computer aspect of it. You know, they have that feeling that you get, you know, when you know something is wrong, something is really wrong, but you don't know exactly what it is. But as far as understanding how this whole big picture fits together, there aren't that many people that understand it. And that's why I put that website together, was to try and explain to people, show people the big picture overview of how this computer system is going to work and what it's going to do to future generations of Americans.
Now, you say here it gives the Secretary of Labor the power to control supply and demand, including the price of labor, over the entire U.S. labor market.
Right. The way that will happen is that she will have the statistics to analyze the labor market. And if she sees that wages are going up and benefits are going up, she can say, oh, well, you know, supply and demand rules apply. If the price is going up, then that means that we need more of a supply to keep the price down. Mm-hmm. Okay? So that's how she can control the price of wages. It's not that she will say directly, well, you only need to make $2 an hour for this job. It's that she can look at the statistics and say, well, their wages have gone up to $5 an hour, so I better let more foreigners into the country to bring those wages back down to $2 an hour, because that's what we want to pay for that job, because that's what that job is worth in the, what term did you use that Joan Bion had?
Family dependency ratio.
The family dependency ratio and what your value compared to what you produce.
Thank you, Vicki.
Okay.
Okay, that's it, my friends, for this afternoon. Lots of research to do on your behalf. AmericanExpose.com, America spelled with a K. Do your research.
Thank you.